The Vatican's top official for dialogue with the Muslim world heads to Cairo this weekend. His visit marks the anniversary of Pope John Paul's trip to Egypt in the year 2000. During that pilgrimage to the places marking the Christian history of salvation, the late Pope prayed at the foot of Mount Sinai, but also stressed the need for dialogue with followers of other monotheistic religions at a meeting in Cairo's Al-Azhar University, one of the most important centres of learning in the Islamic world. Cardinal Jean-Louis Thauron, head of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, is leading the Holy See's delegation for this annual meeting at Al-Azhar, which is an important point of reference for Islamic scholars throughout the world. Accompanying Cardinal Thauron for the meeting on Monday and Tuesday is Archbishop Michael Fitzgerald, himself a former head of the Pontifical Council and currently the Apostolic Nuncio to Egypt and the Arab League.
Well, the essential meeting is a meeting of the Joint Committee of Al-Azhar, the Committee for Dialogue with Monotheistic Religions of Al-Azhar, and the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue in the Vatican. This committee was set up in 1998 and has been meeting yearly since that time. So this is the 10th anniversary, in fact, of the setting up of this joint committee. And the Muslim partners asked that the meeting should take place on the anniversary of the visit of John Paul II to Al-Azhar in the year 2000, when he was going in the footsteps of Moses. He put this visit on his program, and it took place actually on the 24th of February, but that is a Sunday this year, and so the meeting has been put to the 25th and 26th.
As you say, it is marking the 10th anniversary of the start of this particular dialogue. If you could perhaps put your finger on what have really been the fruits of this dialogue, if you could say what progress perhaps there has been over this decade.
The fruits are not very visible as yet, I would say. You know, it takes a long time, you know, to build up relations. And also the people have changed, both in the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. Cardinal Thauron is the new president, and he is coming as president for the first time to Cairo. But also in Al-Azhar, there has been almost a complete change. Certainly at the top, there's been a complete change of the committee. So in a sense, it's a new beginning. But there have been some declarations that have been made, condemnations of violence, for instance, together, which I think were important in the time. The insistence on a certain amount of self-criticism in religion, people of religion, that is, that, you know, that this indicates a degree of openness. There have been efforts in past meetings to widen out to a larger public. On one occasion, when the delegation came from the Vatican, they were asked to appear on a popular program of Egyptian television, Good Morning Egypt, which is a very, you know, popular morning program. And there was a half-hour space, a spot given to dialogue, which I think is very good to get this message across to many other people. And similarly, when the Al-Azhar delegation came to Rome, talks were given in different places. I remember a talk was given at the Institute of Arabic and Islamic Studies. Again, that was perhaps a more select public than the Egyptian television, but the same idea was to broadcast this news that Christians and Muslims are able to sit down together and to talk together reasonably and in a good spirit.
Would you say that that openness that you're talking about then reflects the climate there in Egypt? I mean, the situation is not always easy for Christians, though, is it?
It's certainly not easy for Christians. There are some signs of improvement. A new decision that was taken recently that Christians who had converted to Islam at one stage but have come back to Christianity can have this put down on their identity cards, because religion is indicated in the identity card. So they can indicate that they are Christians, though they have to say that they were for a time Muslims. But society is very different In Egypt, as in many other countries of the Islamic world, there are people who are very open to dialogue with Christians. There are and people of other religions too, and there are people who are not at all in favor of such a dialogue and who would prefer that there be no contact with Christians, I think, really.
You mentioned this case of the Christians being allowed to return to their original faith. That's not likely to extend, though, is it, to Muslims who want to become Christians?
There has been a refusal of a rather prominent case of a man who has become a Christian and who has married a Christian and who wants his child to be registered as a Christian. And this has not been accepted. There's also the question of the Baha'i, whose situation is difficult because they don't want to be classed either as, certainly not as Christians, and they don't want to be classed as Muslims either. Now, they're being allowed to leave this mention of religion blank on their identity cards. What will happen in the future, I don't know. There are people who are advocating that there be no mention of religion, but generally, society doesn't seem to be ready to accept that for the moment.
There is an increasing call for reciprocity as the basis of interreligious dialogue, isn't there? That Christians in Muslim countries should be allowed the same religious freedoms as Muslims can enjoy in Western or Christian countries. What do you see as the most important way of trying to push this forward, if you like?
I think you have to be, you know, quite sort of reasonable in this as well. There are, in most countries, Christians have the freedom to gather and to worship. Practically, it's only in Saudi Arabia that this is not possible. And so they do have their own buildings and they are quite free within their own environment to do what they wish. But there are, of course, restrictions. One wonders which is the best way of going about acquiring a greater freedom, because sometimes the pushing of a hard line just makes people more reticent and not wanting interference from outside. I think there are, in many countries, there's a great susceptibility to criticism, and I would think that you would need to show that there is no danger here to society, that the more people are free to express themselves, the better society will be. There's an interesting situation here with the Bible Society, which is recognized here and which has its own places, its own libraries, its own bookshops for selling the Bible and documents that and communication media that go around the Bible. And they've been told that as long as they do this openly, without any sort of subterfuge, any underhand methods, this is quite free. And so they are acting freely in society, which I think is interesting. And of course, there are also private religious television channels as well that are broadcasting their Christian channels.
We saw recently the exchange of letters, the Muslim scholars from around the world sending a letter to the Pope and other Christian leaders and a response from many of these people, from the Vatican, from the Archbishop of Canterbury and from other Protestant leaders. How would you say this has affected the climate, and what are the expectations from these talks in the light of this?
The topic that has been chosen for this meeting is very close to the concern of these Muslim scholars. The topic is faith in God and love of neighbor as the basis for a sound interreligious dialogue. And this corresponds to what the scholars had said in their document, in their letter to the Christian leaders, insisting on the love of God and the love of neighbor, which, of course, is something that we have in common and which is not often reflected in that way in Muslim writings. And so that is an interesting development, I think. One of the persons who signed this document is the Mufti of Egypt. He is not of Al-Azhar. This is a different office. But, you know, I'm sure that people in Egyptian society will be looking at the development of this dialogue of the scholars with different Christian groups, and particularly perhaps with the forthcoming meeting with the Holy Father and the discussions that will take place in Rome.
The prospect of this dialogue has considerably raised expectations in some circles about a breakthrough, some kind of breakthrough in Christian-Muslim dialogue. Is that a realistic expectation, do you think?
Well, I think you have to understand that, you know, interreligious dialogue is not the same as ecumenical dialogue. That ecumenical dialogue, we are trying to work together with the different churches and ecclesial communities to come to a common statement of the faith, and on the basis of which we will be able to be in communion with one another, in full communion. This, of course, is not the same with other religions, and in particular with Islam. We differ on the very basis. I mean, of course, we believe in one God, and we do have many things in common. But with regard to Jesus Christ, there is a fundamental difference, and we don't expect to have a common statement saying, oh, now we all agree together in our belief in Jesus Christ. So the expectations have to be different. I think that the expectations should be in the line of a greater acceptance of difference, which is very important, and yet at the same time of seeing areas where collaboration is possible. And, you know, there are many areas in which we can make progress, I think.
And my thanks there to Archbishop Michael Fitzgerald, former head of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue and currently the Apostolic Nuncio to Egypt and the Arab League.